Recently, I gave some talks about life coaching, and I wasn't going to give more just now, but someone sent a link which got me thinking some more, and I'll just read from that. It's from a 2013 article from ABC News titled Hosts of Radio Show Pursuit of Happiness, Apparent Suicides. I won't read it all, just some excerpts. A New York couple who were life coaches and co-hosted a radio show called The Pursuit of Happiness had been found dead in their apartment with plastic bags over their heads. That their professions were based on promoting happiness and fulfilled lives has made the suicides even more confounding. Each one had left a suicide note. So it was definitely, or it appears at that point to be suicide. So this was a couple. He was aged 48, she was aged 46, apparently not married, who were doing, described as, one of them described as a motivational speaker. And quoting from them, help people find their inner confidence and build on their real talents and competencies to reach their highest potential. And then there's a photo of them with that typical I feel great, I'm fulfilled, new agey smiles on their faces. They also co-founded Why Not Now, which their website describes as a life coaching business designed to help foster and encourage your inner strengths, identify hidden and untapped resources, and put you confidently on the path to designing the life you've always wanted to live. So it's very sad that people who are supposed to be helping others to live a more fulfilled life themselves felt themselves so unfulfilled that they committed suicide. Unfortunately, suicide is a major cause of death within the world, and one major reason that people commit suicide, there are various reasons, but especially in these so-called developed countries, it's often because people feel empty within. Sometimes we see people, they've got everything materially that they want, or they're at least materially comfortable, but they feel empty and lonely within, which was unfulfilled, which was a syndrome that this couple were addressing through their business of life coaching, but clearly they themselves were empty within. Actually, all these people, everyone in the world is empty within. Without understanding who we are, actually, spiritual living beings, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, without understanding that, then we're just living in a shell of false ego. But by the potency, Krishna's external potency, Maya illusion, then we try to convince ourselves that we're happy. But people often find out that they're not really happy, and they go to a life coaching course, or they commit suicide, or they just remain in a state of depression, or whatever. Maybe these life coaches, they felt even worse in their inner emptiness than most people. Because one thing is, they're realizing they're cheating others and being hypocritical by taking money from them and telling them that they could be more fulfilled by using techniques which hadn't worked for them, because they themselves, they were telling others how to be fulfilled, inner fulfillment, but they themselves weren't inner fulfilled. Another reason is that, or if you want to take a more charitable view, they actually wanted to help others, having seen that simply by going on with life in the what you might call a normal way, whatever that means, in New York City, that it's not enough. You need to get into your inner being and bring that out and express yourself. And they probably, when they first got into all this new agey self-fulfillment, all this stuff, they themselves were very hopeful of leading more fulfilled lives. They really thought that there was that was going to help them. And they found that being just a regular Joe or Jane hadn't helped them. And then being a super Joe or super Jane by taking one of their courses or becoming so-called self-fulfilled, that didn't help them either. And they're thinking that, well, there's nothing else. What else? There's nowhere to go. We did whatever we could to feel self-fulfilled and happy and content with our existence, and so there's nothing there. They came to the conclusion. I'm speculating here, but it's not a bad speculation. So it's a valid possibility that they just felt that there's, if we don't have inner fulfillment, then how can there be such a thing? Because we've done everything that we're supposed to have inner fulfillment. So they felt hopeless and helpless and ended up on ABC News for suiciding. Oh, too bad they didn't get Krishna consciousness, which really gives satisfaction to the soul. Yayatma supersedati savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaitukya prati hata yayatma supersedati. How can we, the Atma, the spiritual being, be fully happy and satisfied? This is addressed in the Sanskrit verse, which I just quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, which states that the highest occupation for every person is to have unmotivated and uninterrupted total dedication to the transcendent Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that will satisfy our heart, nothing else. That will satisfy us to the inner core of our being, which is actually not the mental platform or even the false ego-covered emotional platform, but understanding who we are as an eternal spiritual living being with an eternal spiritual, which means fully happy and fully satisfied, relationship of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's always self-fulfilled. Self-fulfillment means to understand our relationship with Krishna and act in that. Unfortunately, they didn't get that. Even if they had been informed, and maybe they were to some extent, they had the opportunity to do, but most people, even if informed of this actual self-fulfillment, they're not sincere enough to take it. Sincere in the sense that they cling to the idea of material happiness, of enjoying separately from Krishna, enjoying this material world, maybe in a pseudo-sophisticated, new-agey way, and not such a gross way of stuffing yourself with hamburgers, and maybe leading a little more spiritualized life. But their idea of spiritual maybe mean eating organic food, maybe even vegetarian or vegan, and listening to ding, 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 this kind of new agey music instead of hard rock or heavy metal or something like this. In other words, gravitating to what Bhagavad Gita teaches us as the mode of goodness, which is far above the modes of passion and ignorance, which Bhagavad Gita also describes as the bedrock of materialistic, grossly materialistic life, which is based on lust and greed, But in the mode of goodness, which New Age just starts moving toward. But unless there's knowledge of our actual spiritual situation, then the idea will be to live a peaceful and contented life with all the, with maybe a nice apartment in New York City, and more or less be happy in this world. But real spiritual knowledge means to understand that there is no happiness in this material world, and we can only be really self-fulfilled when we understand that we have nothing to do with this material world, and we practice devotional service to Krishna and go beyond the misunderstandings of this material world, beginning with the misunderstanding that I'm supposed to be happy here. So most people, they're not sincere enough to take that. Sincere means they don't want to give themselves completely to Krishna, and they don't want to give up their material desires, however subtle or refined they may be. Anyway, I don't know. I never heard of them before. I don't know exactly what their situation is. It's unfortunate for anyone who doesn't take to Krishna consciousness. This inner fulfillment, the idea of inner fulfillment, if we don't go right inside to understand it, that we're spiritual living beings, then our so-called inner fulfillment will be based on getting external, fulfilling external and ultimately materialistic goals, such as I will be satisfied, I will be using all my potential to do something in this world, which is all meaningless, because however, whatever your potential is, however great you are, how you may be a great head of state, a great military leader, a great cultural leader, but it's all flotsam within the waves of material existence. It's everything is here today, gone tomorrow. It's meaningless. What is our eternal occupation beyond birth and death? That we need to know. So people become attracted to this life coaching hoax because they're insincere. If you hear something like, you can be so wonderfully situated in this material world, people who hear this, you merge with nature and feel yours, find your inner baby and all this kind of thing. People who are attracted to this kind of thing, they're not really spiritual. They're not really serious about understanding spiritual life. They're attracted to something external or superficial. Now, it may be that people get into this and they get out of it. They go into it thinking it's something spiritual because they haven't been introduced to that which is actually spiritual, and then after a short time they realize it's not the real thing. And actually, many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they first went into different quasi-spiritual groups that were floating around in the West at that time. Especially many of them got into what was called transcendental meditation, which is neither transcendental nor meditation, but it was very big in the 1960s and 1970s in the Western world, and it's a major forerunner of many of the New Agey hocus-pocus things that are going on in the world today, such as this kind of life coaching, that self-actualization and all this kind of thing. So obviously you can understand that I don't have a very good opinion of all this so-called life coaching, and there's a very good reason for that, because there is no reason to have a good opinion of it when it's simply, it's another kind of illusion that misleads us into thinking that we can be happy in this material world. We tried this way, we tried that way. Okay, let's try this. Let's go for a neuro-linguistic programming course, or a self-actualization course, or an inner fulfillment course, or a personality development course, and where is Krishna? Who are we actually? And no information, no interest in any such information. Anyone who gets into that, if they don't get out of it very quickly, we can understand that they're being duped into following their ego. Actually, this whole thing, self-actualization and feel yourself one with nature, it's fulfill your inner potential. It's very egoistic. It appeals to people's egoism. So it's most ridiculous when people who have taken to Krishna consciousness and do have knowledge of the actual reality, which can yayatma supersedati, fulfill us completely, totally, eternally, with nothing left to desire. When we stop desiring to enjoy separately from Krishna, then we become fully happy in all respects. So it's most ridiculous when someone who is taken to Krishna consciousness, they themselves feel most unfulfilled. They're so unfulfilled that they think they have to get into doing this kind of mumbo-jumbo life coaching and fulfill your inner potential and all this. Yeah, we also say fulfill your inner potential, but we should understand, again, that our real potential is nothing to do with this material world. It's to do with Krishna. That's spiritual. Spiritual means non-material. But it's the inevitable result of this so-called bridge preaching, the compromise preaching, that we don't feel satisfied talking to materialistic people in a way that appeals to their egoism rather than appealing to their soul, giving them the knowledge which can connect them to Krishna. Connecting people to Krishna is very blissful. It can be very difficult, no doubt, because mostly people are not sincere and they don't want to be connected to Krishna. So we may find another way to connect with them, bridge preaching, but unless we connect them to Krishna, then we will feel ourselves unfulfilled and we won't be able to fulfill others. We may say, well, we're doing it in a roundabout way and gradually we'll bring them to Krishna, but often we see that the bridge preachers, they go further and further out on the bridge. We don't see how they're coming in to Krishna. Or you may say, yeah, well, there are so many people who take to Krishna consciousness by just adding a little material fulfillment ideas, what here in Salem, South India, where I'm presently lying down, the chief teacher in the Gurukul here, we're running a Gurukul for young boys. That's what Gurukul is meant for, young boys. He told me that he had received a phone call from a lady devotee in Chennai, which is the state capital of Tamil Nadu, the state that we're in. She'd heard about this Gurukul and she was interested in sending her children or one of her boys, whatever, to this school, to this Gurukul. So this devotee, Chitta Hari Prabhu, told me that he had told her that you try to understand what we are teaching. What we are teaching, it might be different to your understanding of Krishna consciousness because we teach that human life is meant solely for Krishna consciousness. We don't teach, for instance, he said to her, that you chant Hare Krishna and that will help you to cure your back pains, and chant Hare Krishna and that will help you to have a good job. And she was surprised. This woman had been initiated for several years and says, well, then how do we preach? In other words, the preaching that had brought her to whatever level of Krishna consciousness she's on, and the kind of preaching that she does is based on this. chant Hare Krishna for fulfilling material desires. This means that although she and maybe thousands, or maybe hundreds of thousands, others like her, they never really began in Krishna consciousness, even though they're going on with the process. Even though they're initiated, they never really got initiated, because initiation, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is dikkha kale bhakta kare atta samarpan. At the time of initiation, one fully gives oneself to Krishna. Particularly, that is described, what is that? Giving oneself to Krishna. Sharanagati. There are six symptoms of sharanagati, or six what are called angas or limbs, and they are anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanang rakshishyati ti vishvaso gotridve varanang tata atmanikshepa karpanye shadviha sharanagati. So just from this little comment of this lady, this surprised rejoinder, plus what we see very widely in purportedly Vaishnav society today, is that devotees are not taught to do everything. I'll describe anukulyasya sankalpa, to make a vow to do only that which is favorable for giving oneself or fully surrendering to Krishna. Concomitant with that is pratikulyasya varjanam, to stop doing things to which inhibit one's advancement in Krishna consciousness. So we see it's very widespread today that, for instance, devotees think that it's all right to eat food cooked by non-devotees, which is neither favorable for advancement in devotional service. The positive injunction is that one should take only Krishna prasad, which doesn't mean, it means food offered to Krishna, but it should be cooked with love for Krishna by devotees. So if you only take the bit that is offered to, well, we did offer it to Krishna, and Krishna can purify everything, but Krishna doesn't like to take food which is not offered by devotees. These are basic principles of Krishna consciousness. But if we want to bring in many people, and then we may not teach them these things, because the more restrictions, if the basic restrictions are given, then people who are not very sincere won't like to come, which is good. Then we can all concentrate on pure devotional service. But if we say, well, let's open up the doors and make it very open to everyone, and then you don't have to follow all these things, and we'll get many followers, but then we get so many people who are just materialistic but chanting Hare Krishna and hoping that it will help them materially, which means they're pious, but they don't have any idea of pure devotional service, which the third symptom, rakshishyati iti vishvaso, Krishna will protect me, Krishna will maintain me. Another symptom of how this is not very prominent in the broader Vaishnav society these days is that we often hear that you have to work hard, get a good job, this, that, you have to get on in material life and chant Hare Krishna. And chanting Hare Krishna will help you in that. But that's opposite to the spirit that Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita. Ananyas chintayanto mang ye janah paripasate te sham nitya bhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Which is that one who is thinking of Krishna, who's cultivating thinking of Krishna always, Krishna looks after him. So, of course, it's not that one should just sit around doing nothing, because Krishna tells Arjuna to work, that you have to do some work in this world. But mat karma krin, mat parama, one should work for Krishna, knowing Krishna to be supreme. We don't find in the teachings of the pristine Vaishnava Acharyas that they recommend anyone to try to be. Srila Prabhupada many times said that any spiritual teacher, whether it's Krishna or Buddha or Jesus, They never recommend that you become, you try to enjoy this material world. Then Atma Nikshepa, throwing oneself at Krishna. And Karapanya, or Dainya, this utter humility. So if we're not taught that from the beginning, then, and if we go on preaching, chant Hare Krishna and you'll get all your material desires fulfilled, then the Sharanagati doesn't come. This the science of devotional service as given by Rupa Goswami and all the acharyas, it doesn't happen. So we might think that, well, someone that's been chanting Hare Krishna and they get they're preaching Krishna consciousness, and then they get into all this new age stuff and about teaching others about self-fulfillment on the mundane platform and telling jokes and making people feel good. And you might think, well, that's a fall down from Krishna consciousness. But we can understand it's not really a fall down. It's just a continuation of their trajectory, that they're thinking that Krishna consciousness is something to help me materially and others materially. So it just becomes a trajectory. Then we just leave out Krishna altogether and just tell people how to do well materially. And I'll do well materially if I do that. I'll get money, I'll get name, I'll get fame, I'll get popularity, and this and that. The only problem is that Krishna is not pleased. That's the real problem. That's the whole problem of material existence in the first place. So those who go from Krishna consciousness and then they start all this mumbo jumbo new age stuff, it suggests they were never really were in Krishna consciousness. And some may even say that I was doing all this spiritual teaching, but I still felt empty inside, so I had to do some yoga or something like this. They may actually say like that. So what does it mean that they might have seemed to others who are not conversant in the science of Krishna consciousness that they were in Krishna consciousness, but they were making a good show to themselves and others. They weren't actually feeling happiness in Krishna consciousness. They learned how to speak in a manner that people would like, so that they could gather more people to their version of Krishna consciousness. And they learned how to promote, how to seem spiritual without being actually spiritual, of being a good devotee. So in this way, they're able to bring many people to their materialistic version of Krishna consciousness. But it's unfortunate for those who, in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings and the highest truth, got sucked into accepting such persons as their spiritual guides, thinking that this is the real thing. You see, so many people are taking to it, and they're nice people. You see, and devotees are nice people, and if you chant Hare Krishna, at least we hope it'll make you a nice person. At least, they teach us to be polite and not to criticize anyone, and you know, good middle class values, and have a good job and have a good career and chant Hare Krishna and go to the temple, and it feels great. And sometimes we can all come together and what, chant Hare Krishna? No, there's an India-Pakistan cricket match. We often find on when there's a major cricket match on TV that less people come to our spiritual gatherings. So how to solve that problem? I know what we'll do. We'll call everyone for a program, and we'll watch the India cricket match together with them, and then everyone will come. You see, instead of just sitting at home watching it, you can do it with all the devotees. And Krishna will be pleased if India wins. Yeah, sure. Ha ha. It's unfortunate for the whole Vaishnav society that this kind of garbage has somehow or other come to be accepted as Krishna consciousness. The only problem is that where's Krishna? And you can listen to these talks of these fantastically popular YouTube heroes motivational speakers with Tilak on, or at least maybe not Tilak on, but they're supposed to be devotees, and there's no Krishna. They're not even the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Actually, it's not that Prabhupada, if you listen to his talks, he didn't always talk Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Often he spoke the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the basic teachings that we're not the body, material life is not conducive for us. He would speak, which Krishna himself teaches in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. So sometimes Srila Prabhupada would go for quite some minutes without mentioning Krishna, but he always spoke the teachings that Krishna taught. It leads to the same thing. Committing suicide. Oh, empty inside. There's another consideration. Suicide is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. For those who, well, I'll say the verse spoken by Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Authority, in Rade Hama Dhyang Sulabang Sudur Labham Plavansu Kalpo Guna Guru Karna Dharam Mayanukulena Navasvateritam Puman Bhavadim Nataritsa Atmaha. Which means that if one has attained the human form of life, which is just like a suitable boat for crossing the great ocean of material existence, and one has attained a guru who is just like an expert captain for piloting the boat across that dangerous and choppy ocean, and one has the favorable winds of my instructions, Krishna says, but still one fails to offer the to cross the ocean of birth and death, one is as if committing suicide. He is spoiling the opportunity of human life. So we may have we do have the human form of life, and we may get a guru, but if the guru is not guiding us properly, then we don't cross over the ocean of material existence. The gurus may not even, they may appear to be a very good guru, and others may say, yeah, he's a very, very good captain for the boat. See, there are so many people in that boat that he's taking across. But if they don't even talk about crossing the ocean, or instead of giving the favorable winds of Krishna's instructions in the form of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they may give their own instructions in the form of some book which praises so many Mayavadis and spend several years of their life in writing it and promoting it as if this is what we really need, the people we really need to tell people all about this. So then we can understand, we should understand if this is not going to help us. Get off that boat, get into the boat which is actually going to carry us across the ocean of birth and death. All glories to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who gave us the actual teachings of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and the Nectar of Devotion and the Nectar of Instruction and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and all these actual works of spiritual knowledge, and taught us personally what we have to do. A very simple and straightforward process. Philosophy is not difficult to understand. The practices are easy to understand. There's no need to make massive changes here and there and teach something else and induce people to commit spiritual suicide by wasting their human form of life. Vancha kalpa tarupyascha kripa sindhubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo.